There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning.
You are listening to the Daily Doctrine Devotional. This is a daily podcast designed to teach and preach Bible doctrine each weekday throughout the year. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh asking you to please let others know about this podcast so that they can subscribe or tune in each weekday. At the end of the podcast, we will provide you with subscription information as well as contact information for our ministry. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God.
And the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed. Song of the redeemed.
Thank you once again for tuning to the podcast. This is our Tuesday edition of the podcast. I'd like to welcome each and every one of our listeners. We certainly are thankful for all of you that listen. Thank you for our local folks here. I know we have folks in the Chambersburg area and Franklin, Cumberland, Fulton counties that listen. We certainly want to welcome you and thank the Lord for you. Even folks up in Juniata and Huntington County and down in Maryland, we got some folks that listen. We certainly appreciate you listening. We want to be a help in the book of Hebrews. We want to be a blessing to you. We want to teach doctrine. That's the purpose of the podcast. And so I'm going to go back a little bit from where we were yesterday. I want to talk about that figure of time, verse 10 of Hebrews 9. He said, with Stilonian meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. And what are those drinks? What are those offerings? What are those carnal ordinances, if you will? They're the things that God ordained. They're the things that God gave them to do. And here's part of it. I'm going to read this very extensively. It's a very long passage here. But he says in chapter 8 of Leviticus, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and a bullock for the sin offering, and two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread. And what I find fascinating about this, in each of these chapters, you see the offerings begin to fluctuate. You see a bullock for sin, you see a ram for sin, you see a goat for sin. Why? Because God has made it so. And this bullock is offered for the cleansing, if you will, of Aaron and his sons. And he said, to basket of unleavened bread, and gather thou all the congregation together under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly was gathered together under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses said unto the congregation, and by the way, this is what the Apostle Paul's referencing, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. And then people say, well, this is a carnal ordinance. Well, if you just wait, there's a better one coming. They say, this is a carnal commandment. There's a better commandment coming. They say, this is a carnal testament. Well, there's a new testament coming. Thank God for that. There's a better hope than this coming. Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put upon him the coat and girded him with the girdle and clothed him with the robe and put the ephod upon him. And he girded him with the curious girdle of the ephod and bound it unto him therewith. And he put the breastplate upon him. Also he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Thummim. And he put the mitre upon his head, also upon the mitre, even upon his forefront. Then he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. And then here again begins another carnal ordinance. This is God's priest. This is the man that's going to make offering for sin. Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them. And he sprinkled thereof upon the altar seven times and anointed the altar and all his vessels, both the laver and his foot, to sanctify them. And he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him. And the word of God said this, to sanctify him. Now the psalmist wrote about this, and it's one of those beautiful psalms. I'm going to read it. The Song of Degrees of David, Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God brought them together at this place. How did he do that? He brought them together at the door of the tabernacle, and he brought them there where the blood is going to be offered. And it's there that we're going to see cleansing for sin, and Israel is going to be clean. That is unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. This is where God commanded the blessing of life forevermore. It was in the anointing of Aaron. Why? Because he's that high priest. He's that one that's going in our stead. He's that one that's going in for us. He's that one that's taking the blood to the mercy seat. And God ordained that to be life. God ordained that for us. God made it to be so that they might have life. And so he anointed him to sanctify him. He brought Aaron's sons and put coats upon them and girded them with girdles and put bonnets upon them as the Lord commanded Moses. And he brought the bullock for the sin offering. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the bullock for the sin offering, and he slew it. And Moses took the blood and put it upon the horns of the altar round about with his finger and purified the altar. There it is. The altar is now clean. And by the way, I just so you understand this, that high priest has never gone onto that altar. That high priest has never entered in. That high priest has, by the way, you better study that Melchizedek and priesthood to really understand that really good. Moses has no anointing. Moses has no blood upon him. You know what Moses has? Moses has the blood in his hands. He took the blood and he put it upon the horns of the altar. And by the way, it was Moses that slew that bullock as well. Word of God tells us that. He brought the bullock. He slew it. He took the blood. He put it upon the horns of the altar round about with his finger. There's a picture. There's a type there. And purified the altar and poured the blood at the bottom of the altar and sanctified it. What? The altar. To make reconciliation upon it. Before that great high priest ever came and offered that offering for sin for himself, the altar itself had to be purged. The altar itself had to be clean. I believe the altar in heaven had to be purified with the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe because Satan sinned there, Lucifer sinned there. And old Lucifer came and sinned in heaven before God. Rebelled against God, said, I will be like the Most High God. The heavens were not clean. That altar was purified with the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't have to believe that if you don't want to, but I believe that. The Word of God said he slew it and took the blood, put it on the horns of the altar round about his fingers. He sanctified that altar, made reconciliation upon it. He took all the fat that was upon the inwards and the caul above the liver and the two kidneys and their fat, and Moses burned it upon the altar. There's a picture. There's a type. There's the soul. There's the inwards. There's the reins, if you will. But the bullock and his hide, his flesh and his dung, he burnt with fire without the camp, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he brought the ram for the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and he killed it. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about, and he cut the ram into pieces. Moses burnt the head and the pieces and the fat. And he washed the inwards and the legs in water, and Moses burnt the whole ram upon the altar. It was a burnt sacrifice for a sweet savor and an offering made by fire unto the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, I want you to notice this. This is important for us to understand this. Aaron has still not entered in. And he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram. And he slew it, and Moses took of the blood thereof and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear and upon the thumb of his right hand, upon the great toe of his right foot. And he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put of the blood upon the tip of their right ear and upon the thumbs of their right hands, upon the great toes of their right feet. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. He took the fat, the rump, and all the fat that was upon the inwards and the caul above the liver, the two kidneys, their fat, and the right shoulder. And of the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake and a cake of oiled bread and one wafer, and put them on the fat and upon the right shoulder. And he put all upon Aaron's hands and upon his son's hands, and waved them for a wave offering before the Lord. And Moses took them from off their hands and burnt them on the altar upon the burnt offering. They were consecrations for a sweet savor. It is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And Moses took the breast and waved it for a wave offering before the Lord for the ram of consecration. It was Moses' part. It was Moses' part. He tells you that as the Lord commanded Moses. Moses had to do this. No blood on his ear. No ointment upon his ear. No consecration upon him. He was chosen of God, a vessel of God, to go in and to sanctify that holy place. Why is it so that God would use Moses? He just called him. He chose him. And there when he took his shoes off his feet, he stood in that holy place. God consecrated him unto himself. And I believe Moses' consecration carried him the rest of his life. I believe Moses would go face to face with God and speak to God as a friend spoke to a friend. And he'd go and talk to God. He'd go up on that mount of Sinai and he could talk to God. And you don't see the blood on him. You don't see the ointment upon him. God has separated him unto himself. God has chosen a chosen vessel and consecrated Moses unto himself. Moses took the breasts and waved it for a wave offering before the Lord, for the ram of consecration was Moses' part, as the Lord commanded Moses. And Moses took of the anointing oil and the blood which is upon the altar, and sprinkled it upon Aaron, upon his garments, upon his sons, and upon his sons' garments, with him, and sanctified Aaron and his garments and his sons' garments with him. I will stop there. But in verse 1 of chapter 9 we read yesterday, it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons. And what's the first thing Aaron has to do? He has to offer an offering for his own sin. Why? He told us that in the book of Hebrews. We are back in Hebrews. Some of you don't believe that, but we are. He says, stoning in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances opposed of them until the time of reformation. That's what God's imposed upon them. That's what needed to be. But Christ, thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He went to that place. That blood has cleansed that altar. That blood has cleansed that tabernacle. That blood's upon that mercy seat. Christ being the coming high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hallelujah to God. It wasn't the blood of bullocks and goats, although yet Aaron could enter in. It wasn't the blood of that lamb that was shed, no, although Aaron could enter in. It wasn't in the meat offering, no, although Aaron could enter in. It wasn't because of the anointing upon his head. It wasn't because of that blood upon his ear, his thumb, his great right toe. It wasn't those things. Those were carnal ordinances. He entered in by his own blood into that holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Where did he get that eternal redemption for us? Well, he got it when he offered our sin in the very depths of hell. That's where he obtained eternal redemption for us. And people say, well, he couldn't have done that without the blood. Well, he had to offer the sacrifice first, did he not? You follow the order there. Once all those sacrifices are wrought, once that those kidneys, that fat are burned, once that flesh is destroyed, once all this taken place, then what happens? Then he comes to Aaron where he is, and Aaron carries in that offering into the most holy place to offer it. The order is right. The order is correct. Once Jesus Christ has offered himself for sin, once his soul has been made an offering for sin, what does he do? God delivers him by his own righteousness. By the cleanness of his hands hath he recompensed him. What did God do? God ascended him into the heavens. What did he do when he was in the heavens? He went to that most holy place, and there he offered the blood of the Lamb of God upon the mercy seat. I believe that that high priest brought it to where he was, and I believe he put it upon that mercy seat for you and for I and for our forgiveness of sins. He obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. What does that mean? That is a picture of Moses going in. It's a picture of Moses making that offering. It's a picture of Moses offering those things so that Aaron, for his cleansing, could enter in. Jesus Christ came, and he's the Lamb of God, taketh away the sin of the world. He offered himself through the eternal Spirit. The Word of God said, he offered himself without spot to God. This is not carnal. This is not flesh. He's not just a man. He doesn't need that type of anointing that Aaron had. Why? Because he's Jesus Christ the righteous, how much more shall he purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What was the problem with the first? It couldn't make it perfect pertaining to the conscience. So why do we need the second? Because it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that he can purge our conscience. Our conscience can be made clean. God can purge us. God can give us a good conscience. God can make us holy. God can forgive the past and take away the past and give understanding that we no longer at odds with God and we're no longer out of sorts with God. We can draw nigh to God and he can draw nigh unto us. Why? We've been made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. It was pointed out to me several years ago. Two things that existed had never before been: Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. What else is needed? You and I. Amen. Glory to God. What did he do? He took those things that existed and he brought them nigh one to another. There's the blood of Jesus Christ. There's Christ himself. And what did he do? He took something never before been in the history of mankind. He took Tim McVeigh, and by the blood of himself, he brought me nigh unto himself. Thank God, I've been made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ, who had offered himself unto God through the eternal Spirit, that my conscience might be purged from dead works, and I can serve the living God. Hallelujah. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. There is no other name, no other man, no other person that could possibly, and by the way, when these fools render with the New Testament, and they go in there and they begin to reckon the New Testament, and try to change the New Testament, and twist the words of the New Testament, they have no idea what they're meddling with, no idea what they're dealing with. This was a better covenant. This was the mediator of a better covenant, because he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means, people say, well, that's not the New Testament it's talking about. Well, you can rest assured this, that is the New Testament he's talking about, because after Jesus Christ fulfilled these things, we have the surety of a better testament. What is that better testament? It's the word of God. Amen and amen. And God gave us that testament, and God gave us a better testament in Jesus Christ by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Who are the called there? That's those that were in Aaron. That's those that have been atoned for Aaron. That's those that Aaron once a year had gone in for. They're the call to God. And my friend, Jesus Christ sat down the right hand of God. And after he had done what? He gave them the promise of the eternal inheritance. What a better promise. What a better hope. What a better testament. The Lord Jesus Christ.
There's a lost soul who started up his sinning, and he longs to return to the Lord. As he cries for forgiveness and mercy, God is waiting.
You have been listening to the Daily Doctrine Podcast with Evangelist Tim McVeigh. For correspondence, please contact us through our website and someevangelist.com and use the contact form to connect with us. You may also subscribe to the podcast through our website or search for Daily Doctrine, Evangelist Tim McVeigh, on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or Amazon. To write to us, please use our church address, which is Manasseh Community Baptist Church, 70 Back Hollow Road, Blaine, Pennsylvania, 17006. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in tomorrow. And remember to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
There only was strife. Now the angels of God are rejoicing, for the prodigal child has come home, and the saints all with gladness are singing. Song of the Redeemer.